Hey Barb, did you hear what Mary yelled during when she was delivering Jesus? She yelled, shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't, didn't, and can't. Joseph was confused, so one of the wise men said, don't worry, it's just contractions. See, all those are contractions. Wow. Glad tidings of great joy. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we thank you for this time and this opportunity to learn about you. We just lift this message up and put it into your hands, and we ask that you do your will with it. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts, and whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Each year around this time, we often ask the same questions. Where are you going? Who are you going to see? When are you leaving? What did you get? And the question asked by husbands around the world, how are you going to pay for it? There are really important questions, and one of them that we don't ask quite often, and is far more important, is why did we do all this? Why did we celebrate so vigorously the birth of a poor Jewish boy that occurred over 2 millennia ago in an obscure part of the world? Why do we celebrate his birth? What does it mean to us personally and to this world as a whole that we have such a universal and enthusiastic celebration? What did Jesus come here to do? Why did God appear as a baby laying in a manger in Palestine over 2,000 years ago? And what does that mean to us here and now? Why is there Christmas? There's no mandate in Scripture for it. Why did Christendom unilaterally and universally decide that this event was worthy of such a celebration? It must be really important if we get a few days off of work and a couple of weeks off of school, no matter what you believe. Fortunately, we don't have to wonder why. Because 30 years after he was born, Jesus Christ himself begins to tell us exactly why he came and exactly what that means to you, to me, and to the rest of creation. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus repeatedly proclaims that he came here to do. I came to call sinners to repent, that you might have life and have it abundantly, to testify to the truth, to fulfill the law, to bring a new covenant, to seek and to save the lost, to be a light, to preach, to glorify the Father, to give eternal life, and finally to bring fire and division among the earth. We'll talk about that one last. Jesus tells us exactly why he was laying in that manger, why he came here, and this is what we celebrate this evening. Each of these things that Jesus said he came to do, he accomplished without failure. Each of these things has progressively changed my life. He came here for me. He came here for you. I am the sinner, the lost. I seek the truth that the light brings. I needed rescued. I needed eternal life. I needed my life to have meaning, for it to be abundant. I needed him to fix what I've broken in this world, because I could not. At this point in my life, the most poignant reason he came here to this world is found in Matthew 20. Now that I've seen the light, now that I have repented and been saved by his grace, now that I know the truth that his word and spirit have taught me, this is what's next. What did Jesus come here to do for me, right here and right now? Matthew 20, 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve. What he's saying is, I came here to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus tells us that he came here to serve, and to serve by giving his life for many. Not just one nation or one people, but a multitude of people, including you and everyone you know. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came here on this day to serve you by giving his life in your place. 2,000 years before you were born. The context of this verse is this. The mother of John and James had just asked Jesus to place her sons in positions of authority in the kingdom of God. When the other disciples heard about this, they became angry with John and James, and a division began. Hard feelings were beginning to divide the apostles at the worst possible time, because this is just before Jesus is arrested and crucified, when all they will have for support is each other. Jesus gathers them together and addresses the issue. Jesus makes it very clear that Christianity and spirituality is not ever a means to gain power or authority over others. If the author of our faith came to serve everyone else, how can his followers do anything less or anything different? Paul writes to Timothy regarding men who seek to gain worldly power through the authority of Christ, calling them men of depraved minds who were deprived of the truth. He says that such men suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Paul tells Timothy that godliness, spirituality, is only a means of gain when it is accompanied by contentment, not desiring anything else. Paul then defines exactly what we should be content with. He says, if you have food and covering, with these be content. Well, I have food and covering. I'm not content. My prayers to God are full of requests for things other than food or covering. Stuff I want. Throughout our history, the Church of Jesus Christ has fought the fight of John and James. We have tried to turn the solemn belief of others into an opportunity for gain of power, authority, and wealth for ourselves. Throughout the ages, we have done this or tried to do this on a personal level, a congregational level, a denominational level, and even on a global level, claiming to do so for the glory of God and the betterment of the church, when in reality, our pride has pushed the Christ child's stated purpose out of the manger, and we have replaced him with our will. The Spirit of God gathers together here tonight to tell us the same thing Jesus told his disciples the very first time this occurred. I came to serve, not to be served, to the point that I am willing to give my life as ransom for you. You see, Jesus Christ came here to ransom me because I so desperately needed to be ransomed, and he was the only one who could do it. The heavens were full of angelic beings who served Jesus' every thought and executed his every wish. But he left that to come here on Christmas Day to serve me, a rebellious and unworthy pile of animated dust. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords came here on this day to serve and to save me and you. Jesus said that he was born to die for us. He valued his lives more than his own. He came to give his life because no one could take it from him. He came to offer himself for our sins, not to gain power, not to gain authority. He already had all of that. He gave them up for me and for you. Now what he came to do, brothers and sisters, we remain to do. What he did for me, I must do for others if I claim to be his follower. If I wear the moniker of Christian, he told us in the three verses before Matthew 20:28 exactly what it is he expects from us. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. Whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Jesus came here to serve us with his life and to empower us to do the same thing for others. To be good at this life, for your time on this earth to have any lasting meaning, you shall be a servant and a slave for others. This is the image of Christ we are being transformed to. When people look at you, they can see Christ in you. If you do what he did and you lay down your life, your will for them. The baby laying in the manger came here so you can do this. What we celebrate today is our call and our ability to serve others, to give and not receive. Just like with John and James, It is easy to lose this truth in the fog of our pride. Jesus came here to make me a servant of all, a light that burns for others until the Lord reaches down and puts out my flame. We remain here to serve humanity because they need us to, and we are the ones that God Himself has called to do it. Jesus was born to turn me into a servant of all, and He died to show me exactly how to do this. Leadership in the kingdom of God is service. It is never entitlement. John 13:13-17, Jesus tells them, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." An example of service to one another. "For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." You need to do for others what I have done for you. "Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." We spend so much time and effort trying to obtain what we want from God. And here, in these few verses, is what God expects from you. Serve each other. Humble yourselves for the sake of another. Do what you should, as Christ said. Christ said He came to seek and to save that which is lost. To do that, He became the servant of all. How can we do anything less if that's our goal? That child laying in the manger came here to change me and to use me for His eternal purpose. He came to show me how to be like Him and how to make others my purpose for being. There is nothing you will receive this Christmas that could compare with what this baby came to give you. The will of the living God being enacted through your life of service to and for others. This is a gift that will never fade. It will never get old. It will grow in value with every breath you take. And once you stop trying to rule and begin to serve, you will have the abundant life, the abundant peace that He came to give. The peace that John 14:27 tells us that He left with us is found in serving, not in being served. The baby that lay in the manger 2,000 years ago came to make me a servant of all, and He gave me a true ability to actually help this sad world through the only thing that has ever mattered, love. This gift, the Christmas that Christ came to give me, has sat and opened year after year under my tree, just waiting for me to appreciate it. Throughout the years, I've opened just about everything else that He came here to give me, all those things I listed in the beginning. And now, for some reason, my attention has turned to the dusty box marked "To the Servant of All." And I thought that gift was for Cheryl or for someone else. She's so good at it. Now it intrigues me. It calls to me. I think it will tie together all the other gifts He gave me into a meaningful expression of hope, faith, and love. It is the thing I need to be completely poured out for the kingdom upon the altar of grace. Now, I make no claim to have opened to this present yet, but now I want to. And I find myself reaching past all the other smartly and brightly wrapped options this life offers towards a dusty and blood-stained old rugged cross where the King of all the ages came and ransomed my soul. I want to take up my cross, and I want to follow Him to do the same things for others that He did for me, because love received demands love be given. Having said this, please never forget that the baby we celebrate here tonight is returning one day to celebrate us. And when He does, this world will know exactly who He is and whose we are. And I pray that they will not be surprised by either revelation. Revelations 19, 11 through 16. The next time this child is seen, and I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is self-defining. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, are following him on white horses. And from his mouth came a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads a winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Never allow yourself to forget. The child we worship and celebrate here tonight is a warrior. He has chosen to be our Savior. He has chosen to be our friend. He has chosen to serve us. Because of his grace, we will ride alongside him in triumph instead of standing in front of him in fear. Because this warrior came to us as a child to serve. Our names are written in the only two places that ever really mattered, in his book of life and upon the palm of his hand. They were written there the moment he was born. As always, brothers and sisters, I ask you to pray for those of us who can't be home for Christmas because they're protecting us from ourselves. Pray for those of us who came home with less than they left with. Those who will pay a price every day with body or mind for serving us in one way or another, and will continue to do so until Jesus calls them home and wipes away their tears. Pray for those of us who have lost someone so precious to them that the joy of this day is consumed by sadness. Pray they find abiding joy in what is to come, the day when we are all finally and truly home for Christmas. The day when Jesus Christ looks underneath his tree and finds what he's been waiting for. All of us, together forever, with him. Have a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. Amen.